you to turn to the book of Proverbs tonight, chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. Verse 1. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. May the Lord bless the reading of His word. Let's pray together. Our Father, again we would call upon Thee and ask Thee to illuminate our minds. We are completely dependent upon Thee for divine revelation. You have given us that in Your holy word. But we're completely dependent upon Thee for divine illumination as well. And we pray that that may be our portion tonight as we look at this portion on the seven pillars of wisdom. We give You thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Proverbs is a great book. When I was a teenager, I listened to a preacher from, he was a businessman from New York City. His office was on 120 Wall Street. Erling Olsen was his name. He wrote a number of books. I have his work on the Psalms. But he said every young man should read the first seven chapters of Proverbs every month. And that was good advice that he gave, and I've often read through the first seven chapters of Proverbs. About 20 years ago, we had a citywide gospel series with Leighton Ford, Billy Graham's brother-in-law. And you know they always open an office in the city. And they had a lady in the office who came to our assembly. In fact, she met her husband in our assembly. In fact, I married her. In fact, I introduced them. We could go through a lot of things. But she was quite a Bible student, and she still is. And she was in my Bible class when I was teaching the book of Joshua. And she especially liked Joshua chapter 10. In Joshua chapter 10, you have five kings hidden in a cave. For it's a mopping up operation of Joshua after they had made a foolish move and made a league with the Gibeonites, if you remember, Joshua chapter 9. Well, then they had to defend the Gibeonites because they moved contrary to the will of God. However, in Joshua chapter 10, you have five kings hidden in a cave. And I still remember saying, what do kings do? Kings reign. What are these five kings hidden in the cave? See, we can have five kings hidden in the cave of our lives. And they reign. The word of God says, sin hath reigned unto death. Sin reigns. Sin reigns as a king. And these five kings reign. Well, what did Joshua do with the five kings? Well, he put a stone over the cave's mouth so they couldn't come out. But they were still there. But after he had the battle of where he commanded the sun to stand still and the moon to be stayed in the valley of Ajalon, he brought those kings out. He said, take the stone away. Bring out the kings. Are we willing to bring out the kings that are reigning in our lives? And I, of course, had a passage of scripture for the five kings that reigned. And it's in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Here are five kings that can reign. Nobody can see them. They're on the inside. But Peter says to us in chapter 2 of 1 Peter, verse 1, wherefore, laying aside all malice, king number 1, and all guile, king number 2, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings, five of them. What must you do? Bring them out. And then Joshua told them, put your foot on the head of the king, on the neck of the king. And when they were willing to put their feet on the necks of the kings, then Joshua killed them and hung them on a tree. And beloved, God will not take anything out of our lives that we love, unless we're willing to put our foot on the neck of the king and acknowledge it. Well, after I had, she liked that message very much. And she came to me right after that and she said, Proverbs chapter 9 says that wisdom hath built her house. Yet you not are seven pillars. What are the seven pillars of wisdom? And you know, I didn't know. I couldn't come up with anything like I could with the five kings in the cave, you know. For years, in the back of my mind, what are the seven pillars of wisdom? And anyone who's gone through the book of Proverbs, you know that the eighth chapter of the book of Proverbs is a great chapter on wisdom. And it presents Christ to us as the wisdom of God. And that's very interesting in Proverbs chapter 8. Look at verses 15 through 17 for a moment. And here we see the person of Christ, where it says, by me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Oh, this is none other than the person of Christ. And we can go a step further. Look down at verse 23. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight. Rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. And my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. What a chapter is the eighth chapter of the Proverbs. When Paul Van Gorder was with us a number of years ago, he made a statement. And he said, there's a woman that lived across the street from them. Whenever she went out her front door, she very publicly locked the door. And then she took the key and put it under the mat right under her feet. He said, I've seen her do that many times. He said, you know, when God says something in his word, he usually puts the key to understanding it real close. And a number of weeks ago, this came up in my mind. What are the seven pillars of wisdom? So I thought of what Paul Van Gorder said. Wisdom hath built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. And I immediately went back and studied chapter 8. And when I studied chapter 8, I found the seven pillars in chapter 8. So we're going to begin with number one, chapter 8, verse 7, truth. Notice verse 7, for my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination unto my lips. Truth is found in Scripture in a person, the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In Psalm 85, verse 10, we read, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. And we see the fulfillment of that. We come to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, the place where mercy and truth meet. They meet in Him who is the Father of mercy, who is truth personified. Christ, who is the wisdom of God, is made unto us truth. And Romans chapter 2 says, God desires truth in the inward parts. In the inward parts. Wisdom hath built her house, and she has hewn out her seven pillars, the pillar of truth, the Word of God, the person of Christ, the revelation that God has given to us is a revelation of truth. The second pillar is found in verse 8, righteousness. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. When we study this righteousness, everything God does is done in righteousness. Go back to chapter 2 for a moment. Verse 3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Verse 9, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity and every good path. Did you notice a pathway here? If, then. Then thou shalt understand. Now, the truth of that ninth verse of the second chapter is emphasized in the eighth of Proverbs in verse 18. Chapter 8 in verse 18, where we read, riches and honor are with thee, durable riches and righteousness. There with him. And to know that 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30 tells us that Christ is our righteousness. For of him, the scripture says, are we in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, even righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He leads in the way of righteousness, our text says, for he is the only righteousness that God will accept. There isn't any other. And our Lord said in the Sermon on the Mount, except your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. How can I be? By being clothed in the righteousness of God's dear Son. Now this righteousness is ours by faith. Romans 1:16 and 17, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Torah number one is truth. Torah number two is righteousness. Torah number three is found in verse 10. It is instruction. Verse 10 of chapter 8 says, "Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold." The purpose of the book of Proverbs is to instruct us. And there's no better place of instruction for a young man than the first 7 chapters of Proverbs. Oh, that I could get men to be willing to read it and to understand it. Look at chapter 1 of Proverbs, where we have the purpose of Proverbs. The purpose of it. You talk about instruction. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction. To perceive the words of understanding. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand the proverb and the interpretation. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Solomon, in chapter 1, and I challenge you to carefully ponder the words of the book of Proverbs, of the call of God in chapter 1. We can glibly talk about Romans 8:28, and we know that all things do work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Proverbs chapter 1 describes the effectual call of God and the general call of God. And Romans 8:28 is dealing with God's effectual call. Those who respond. And Proverbs chapter 1 tells us the awful end and God's attitude toward the person who has heard a general call, as we hear in Sunday school, as we hear week after week when we hear the gospel, and we don't pay any attention to it. Proverbs chapter 1 is so important. Now Solomon is giving instruction to his son. And we notice that in those few verses that we read in chapter 1. But notice chapter 4 and verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Notice also verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. How do we learn? We learn more by example than we do any other way. We learn by example. I'm glad for the examples that I've had in my upbringing, a godly father. I think of Bible teachers that made an impression on my mind. Good examples. Alas, Solomon, who wrote this, was a poor example. He was a very poor example. He said one thing, but he did the other. You see, theory is wonderful, only if it's carried out. We can hear the word of God until we're blue in the face, and it becomes theory to us. We can know all the right answers for the right people at the right time. But do I have peace with God within? we had a brother, one of our elders, a close friend. I was traveling to the workers' conference. We were outside of Columbia, South Carolina, going toward Augusta, when my buddy's beeper went off. And he called his wife. And here it was, Phyllis. Phyllis wanted to tell us to come home. Kent Mann had died. She didn't know he had died. He was in the hospital with a heart attack. And she said, John Webster said, he thinks we better turn around and come home. We went to eat. And while we were eating, my buddy called his wife, or someone else. We made so many phone calls on his mobile phone that night. But we learned that he was with the Lord. His wife had only about 5 minutes to talk with him. You see, there is a line by us unseen that crosses every path. It is a boundary line between God's mercy and God's wrath. There is a time we know not when, a place we know not where, that marks the destiny of man for glory or despair. Solomon was a wise man, but he was a very poor example. And his son Rehoboam, you remember when the kingdom was divided, he took advice from young men when he should have listened to old men. Who do you listen to? What a fool Rehoboam was. And he lived to regret it. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 12 to verse 23. They who hate instruction can see the results. In Proverbs 5, verses 12 to verse 23. In chapter 8, verse 33, we are commanded to listen to instruction. What will it do? According to verse 9 of chapter 9, instruction will only make wise people more wise. Wisdom hath built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. Truth, number one. Righteousness, number two. Instruction, number three. Number four, chapter 8, verse 10. Knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Knowledge, beloved, is a basis for faith. Faith is based upon knowledge. What do you believe? You only can believe what you know. You see, faith is not a leap in the dark. We see the importance, friends, of the rhetorical questions in Romans chapter 10. You know the questions asked in Romans 10. Let's turn to Romans chapter 10 for a moment. This is an important portion of the Word of God. Romans 10, and we'll begin at verse 13. Romans 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now here are the questions. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful upon the mountain, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach a gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now we got to go to grasp that. You got to go backward. We like to say, oh, I believe faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's true. Let's go back to the next question. How shall they preach except they be sent? How do you hear the word of God? Somebody had to tell you. Next question, going backward. How shall they hear without a preacher? The person by whom you heard had to do some preaching, whether it was a neighbor woman, whether it was a servant in the house, whether it was a person who you worked with. They told you the gospel. Go back to the next question. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Well, you never hear, you'll never believe. And then, of course, it goes back to the next question. How shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? You see, it's blessed to be able to say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But there are steps to that. How are they going to call? You see, the calling is all the way down in chapter 17, verse 17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, you move from cause to effect, going backward. And this is a portion that you should study backward and ask the question, to whom am I witnessing? Who am I telling the good news of the gospel? See, knowledge is a great passage. It's a great pillar. It's a basis of faith. In Romans chapter 11, verse 33, we read a great benediction. Oh, the depths and the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his it is knowledge and his ways past finding out. Now, when we think of this, God has never learned anything. God has never learned anything. He always knew everything. I can't take that in. I have to learn all the time. See, Acts chapter 15, verse 18 says, known unto God are all his works from the beginning. This is a God with whom we have to do. When I read Revelation chapter 1, and John falls down before the Lord Jesus in all his glory, the Lord Jesus puts his right hand on John and he says, fear not, John, I am the first and I'm the last. God never permits man, no matter who he is, to have the last word. And he never permits man to have the first word. God has the first word, and God has the last word. And I want to know the one who has the last word on me. Now, in between there, man can strut, and he can boast, and he can act as though God has no claim on my life. But he's only showing his ignorance. He's only showing how foolish he is. God says, I'm the first and I'm the last. Knowledge. You know the 139th Psalm. It begins, Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Do you know how the psalm ends? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my ways. Search me some more. How would you like to be searched by someone who knows everything about you? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Knowledge, it's the foundation of faith. Number 5, chapter 8, verse 12, prudence. Chapter 8, verse 12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Prudence means being capable of exercising sound judgment in practical matters. Since prudence dwells with wisdom, and what is wisdom? What is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to make the right choice to get to the desired ends. What is the desired end of a choice? To get there, we need wisdom. And dwelling with wisdom is prudence. It's the ability to exercise sound judgment. Let me ask you a simple question. Do you know anybody that you can think of right now who doesn't exercise sound judgment and you wish they did? Do you know anybody like that? You know, if I could read your mind right now, their names are right there. Are they prudent? One of the pillars of the house of wisdom is prudence. Number 6, I see my time's going rather rapidly. Chapter 8, verse 14. Counsel. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Counsel is to recommend or urge the acceptance of a matter. That's what counsel is. Think of Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. All that he had written in 11 chapters, he now turns and with counsel, he urges it upon them. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where we have the great chapter on the reconciling grace of God, the scripture says, we beseech you, be ye reconciled to God. And that verse is made on the foundation of the wisdom of God that's outlined in verse 21. For God hath made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That brings us to pillar number 7. The last verse, verse 35, second last verse. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. 1 John 5, verse 12 says, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I probably told you this before, but I'm going to do it again. I was playing tennis one Saturday morning with a group of men over at Pallet Life Insurance Club. And a fellow across the net from me, we were playing doubles, his name was Paul Martin. And he had been a professional baseball player. He was a good tennis player, too. But he played professional baseball for the Kansas City Athletics. And he worked for Power Life Insurance. And I started telling him about I was preaching the gospel to him. And he let me know very quickly that when he goes to church, he wants to talk to a man who has a PhD. He said, I want a man who can really tell me what the Word of God means. Well, that's a fellow like that's to be congratulated. I said to him, Did you ever read an insurance policy? He told me that nobody can understand the Bible unless you have a good education, you know. Well, I never had a good education. So I said to him, can you understand an insurance policy? Oh, he said, I have to. It's my work. Oh, I said, let me quote a verse of scripture to you. 1 John 5, verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. They're all one-syllable words. There isn't a two-syllable word in it. I said, Paul, there's a day coming you're going to stand before God, and you're going to have to admit that you could understand an intricate insurance policy with all the legal terms, but you couldn't understand the one-syllable words of his revelation. Whoso findeth me findeth life, the Lord says, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. When Lazarus was dead in his grave, our Lord could say to Mary and Martha, his sisters, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoso findeth me findeth life. And he could say to us, I am the life. Yahamni. Wisdom hath built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. Sir James Simpson discovered chloroform. And because of this, a greater than life photograph of him adorns the wall of the medical entrance to the Chicago Natural History Museum. It was chloroform that revolutionized surgery. Can you imagine surgery before chloroform? Hard to imagine. One day, Sir James Simpson was interviewed by a newspaper reporter. And he was asked the question, tell me, what do you consider to be your most important discovery? And his answer was, my most important discovery was when I found out that I was a sinner in the sight of a holy God. The newspaper reporter didn't know what to do. He didn't know quite how to answer. He said, well, what was the second most important discovery? And he said, the second most important was when I found out that Jesus died for a sinner like me. That's wisdom. Let's pray. Now, our Father, we ask you to take this word, bless it to every heart. We thank you for the wisdom of God. We thank you for him who is the wisdom of God, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Our hearts rejoice in the fact that we know him and we are in him who is true. Receive our thanks. In his worthy name, amen.